Quick Slam this morning at 8:33, joined by Arthur Knott Hopkins, area officer for the Missouri Veterans Commission, as we learn the latest from the VA and more. Thanks for coming in this morning.
Well, thank you for having me.
You were at a recent conference where you learned more about the Mission Act.
Yes, we had our conference a couple of weeks ago, and we had the chief of staff from the Columbia VA Medical Center come in, and she talked to us about the Mission Act, how it's working so far, and how it actually will be implemented.
What is the Mission Act?
Well, the Mission Act is something that was signed into law by President Trump that expanded the ability to use community care within the local area. Not just local area, but nationally. Community care is where you'd be able to use a local doctor instead of having to go down to the actual VA Medical Center or the community-based outreach clinics like in Kirksville or in Mexico.
While that's a good thing to have specific veterans hospitals, I'm sure at times, from a convenience standpoint, this opens up other opportunity.
Yes, it does. And it also helps alleviate some of the workload. We've heard the horror stories of VA medical centers across the nation where they're just overloaded. People, you hear the stories of someone dying in the waiting room while waiting to see a doctor, or at home trying to get an appointment and the appointment's a year out. So when this was first started, the Community Care Act years ago was trying to alleviate that workload so that nobody was waiting that long to get in to see a doctor. And one of the things with community care, with this expanded act that President Trump signed into law, is it helps combine two different programs into one. We were familiar with the VA Choice Program, which was just a temporary program, and it went on for about 5 or 6 years. And community care has been there for a while. And as an example, if the VA felt it was inconvenient for you to drive to your local VA medical center to receive the treatment, they could contract out with someone locally for you to receive that treatment. This combined the two programs into one and is supposed to make it a lot easier for management and for scheduling of appointments. It still does work with TriWest, which a lot of people who worked with the Veterans Choice Program did not have good experiences with. Hopefully streamlining it will make it a little better. We'll have to see as it goes a little further. Those who were part of Veterans Choice, they're still grandfathered for 1 year. So that means up until June of 2020, they're still part of the program automatically. However, after that point, they have to meet the new criteria.
What is the criteria then?
And the new criteria, it's based on your average wait time and your average drive time. For most of us in the Columbia area, we don't have a problem with the wait time and trying to get an appointment. For us, it's the drive time, because the Columbia VA Medical Center covers all the way up to Kirksville and further, and goes over to Hannibal as well. So that's a large drive time to get down to Columbia. The chief of staff with the VA Medical Center said that there are 35,000 vets who are enrolled in Columbia VA Medical Center's healthcare system. And of them, 42,000 are eligible for the Mission Act. So, not 42,000, 42%.
42%, okay.
So that's almost half. Now, Columbia itself is not eligible, because if you're in Columbia, you can get to the VA Medical Center within 30 minutes. But usually Moberly is going to fit into that time. So if you're further out than Moberly, and let me modify this a little, if you are closer to Kirksville or Mexico, because they do have community-based outpatient clinics there, they consider that a place you could go for primary care. But Moberly doesn't have that, and it takes longer than 30 minutes to get to Kirksville or Columbia. So if you're in any of the outlying areas and it takes you more than 30 minutes to get to a primary care provider, which would be Columbia, then you could be eligible under the Mission Act. And that's for primary care. For specialty care, which is like the eye clinic, the audiology, physical therapy, any of the specialty clinics, 62% of the people enrolled in Columbia's VA Medical Center healthcare are eligible for for the Mission Act for community care under the Mission Act. I'm stumbling over my brain here this morning.
Got a lot on your brain trying to sort this all out here.
Well, there's a lot of numbers, and it's working through it as we're learning how it's going to be applied. For the specialty clinics, it's a 60-minute drive. And the wait time for that, I believe they said, was 45 days. Now, if you call down to the VA Medical Center, they can tell you exactly. You always have to start with the medical center to see if they can get you in. If you can't, then that's when the Mission Act comes into play. And our VA Medical Center, I rave about it. It is rated number one in the nation. Out of all the VA medical centers, it is rated number one in patient care. And I actually told the chief of staff this at our meeting. For the veterans who come into my office, they have no complaints usually about the care that they receive. Usually they are raving about it. And the biggest thing I think that impresses us veterans when we go into the VA medical center is that any of the staff will stop to help you. And the VA medical center is going through a lot of construction. I have a lot of guys who, when we walk in, we're just looking around lost because we don't know where our clinic is anymore because they've been moving so many things. Any staff member will stop and help you and actually walk you to where you need to go. You will not find that in a lot of private facilities.
So does the Mission Act take that option away and say if you would like to go to the VA hospital and get the care there even if it takes longer?
No, you are still able to go to the VA Medical Center. It just gives an option if you want to have something that's a little more convenient or that's a little sooner than they can schedule you in. And the Mission Act, I think, is going to be good in the long run. However, there's a downside to it that I see so far, and I can see it's going to have to be changed. When Congress established the budget for community care within the VA, $40 million was budgeted for community care. Already so far, they've spent $53 million for community care. So they're well above the budget that was expected, and we're nowhere near the end of the year for that budget.
So one of those things where you had to got to put it in place and see how it plays out. So
yes.
Now there's going to have to tweak. Okay, so now who's eligible? Is it the veteran, him or herself, or also family members as well in the Mission Act?
Well, family members are not eligible, but the veteran is. And one of the key things is they must be enrolled in VA healthcare. And they must have been active at least once, seen someone at the VA at least once within the last 2 years. Now, if you're not currently enrolled or it's been longer than that, it's simple enough to get re-enrolled. You just go down to the VA Medical Center and you usually update your financial information or update your personal contact information. If you are a service-connected veteran, you are eligible to use the VA Medical Center. However, if you haven't used it in the last 2 years, you would not be able to use community care under the Mission Act. Re-enrolling in VA healthcare is simple. You go in, you just update your financial information, and that day you're considered active. I recommend everybody see a primary care provider at the VA Medical Center at least once every year. That just keeps you active in the system. If you've never enrolled in it, you can walk down to the VA Medical Center. You can bring your discharge with you and have a rough idea of what your annual household income is. If you're married, that includes yours and your wife's separately, and then what your medical expenses were for the last year. And I say last year, if you go down today, they're going to ask you for your medical expenses for 2018. Some people itemize on their taxes. They're able to get that number very easily, but for a lot of us, we don't. And they will include a lot of things, such as what you paid for your health insurance, eyeglasses, dentist, the cost of copays, prescriptions, any out-of-pocket medical expense. If you had to buy a walker, wheelchair, incontinence supplies, the VA counts that and reduces what they count as your household income. The guideline for a married couple, I believe the number off the top of my head is about $40,000. It's somewhere between $37,000 and $40,000 a year. So if the income is below that, the veteran is eligible to use VA health care.
All right. We're going to pause right there. It's Arthur Knott Hopkins with me here on Quickslam this morning. with information regarding the Mission Act. If you have a question, you can give us a call at 263-2424 or 800-892-2300. Back with more in a moment.
Hi, this is Rachel from Little Dixie Regional Libraries, and I want to know who some of your favorite authors are. Do you love to read mysteries, romance, science fiction, westerns? The library has the books for you. Just browse our shelves or view our collection on the library catalog at www.ldrl.org. We have books for all reading likes and tastes. No time to come into the library? Check out our ebook collection online and download a book from our large collection of great books. And remember, all services at Little Dixie Regional Libraries are completely free.
Headaches. Chronic headaches take the beauty out of your beautiful day. But you don't have to live with headaches. Dr. Dan Bortson has helped hundreds of people get their life back by a simple vision adjustment. What if you could live without headaches? Call the office of Dr. Dan Bortson in downtown Moberly today. The service is great. Appointments are flexible, including early evening hours. Don't miss out on life. Call now. Wouldn't it be a shame if you could get rid of your headaches and didn't?
So there's this guy named Jordan, and he's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. But then he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage 4. And here's the thing. He had switched from medical insurance to MediShare, which is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this really going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. If you want to find out more, here's a number for you. 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE. 844-91-BIBLE.
Quarter before 9 o'clock, it is our veterans program here with Arthur Knott Hopkins. And again, we're available for phone calls as well if you want to ring in 263-2424 800-892-2300. Before we leave the Mission Act, is urgent care included in this?
Urgent care is. And urgent care was being sold as a really big benefit for this program, and I do think it will be once we get more people enrolled. Urgent care meant that you can go, you've seen a lot of urgent care clinics that have popped up. I think we have two in town here in Moberly, but I've seen them all over. And that was where you could go in and get minor injuries or illnesses taken care of. Instead of waiting a month to see your primary care provider when you had a cold or the flu, you could go into an urgent care clinic. The problem with the urgent care clinics is very few urgent care clinics in the Columbia VA Medical Center system have, in or area of responsibility, have enrolled in the Mission Act to be community care providers. So I would recommend if anybody is working at one or you're the manager of an urgent care clinic, call down to the VA hospital, see what it is you have to do to be a part of that. As I talked about, we've got 42% of the 35,000 veterans enrolled in VA medical care at the VA Medical Center in Columbia are eligible. So that could open up the door for a lot of patients instead of having staff sitting around with nothing to do.
So much like healthcare on the open market, you should check to see if your physician is a Mission Act provider before making that appointment.
Yes, it is available on the website, but the website can be overwhelming. I went and looked at how many providers were there, and limiting it down to the type of provider I wanted wasn't the most user-friendly. So I would recommend definitely talk to your provider, see if they are enrolled in community care with a VA, and if they aren't, maybe encourage them to do so. I think the more people we get enrolled, the better it's going to be for our community, and most definitely, the better it's going to be for our veterans.
All right, Arthur Knott Hopkins, my guest here, area officer with the Missouri Veterans Commission. Let's shift gears for just a moment and talk Space A travel. What's the latest word on that? And what is Space A travel? I guess we should begin with that.
Okay. Well, those of us who wore the uniform usually heard that term, Space A travel. Space A travel stands for Space Available. And what that means is that you were able to travel if you were active duty military on leave. You were able to travel on a seat if a C-130 was doing a flight. Now, not that a C-130 is the most comfortable flight. Mm-hmm. If an aircraft was doing a flight and it was going into your area, you could get a seat on there if it wasn't already full. The John McCain Act, which was signed into law earlier last year, made it so that 100% service-connected disabled veterans were now eligible to use space-aid travel. They are in the same category as retirees. However, their family is not able to use that travel. And it's raised kind of a stink because a lot of the family is saying, well, we need to be with the veteran to help care for them because they have the medical needs. We'll see what Congress does to address that. We'll see how many veterans actually take advantage of the benefit that's available now. The way that they can find out if there's a seat is the same as if they were retirees. They have to contact the Air Mobile Command, and you can find that on the website. And just search for Space Aid Travel, and you'll get the information that you're looking for. You can make reservations, but those reservations, you can always be bumped because there may be an active duty military member who has a higher priority.
Okay. All right, so check on that. Is there a specific site to go to check on Space Aid Travel, or did you say there was a phone number, or what is the contact?
There is a specific site, but it's a long website,
oh, okay.
And I think it would be more confusing to say it aloud.
Do a search on Space Aid Travel.
If you just do a search for Space Aid Travel or Air Mobility Command,
okay.
And I'll say that again, Air Mobility, M-O-B-I-L-I-T-Y, Command, you should be able to find the information for it. And when I say the website's confusing, it's about 30 characters long.
I got you.
It's a long website.
And again, these are areas where you as an area officer or other area officers are available to be a resource to help
yes,
out.
Yes, right? We can try to help you find the information you're looking for.
Very good. And before we wrap up, we'll give you Arthur's contact information, so stick around for that. It's 10 minutes before 9 o'clock, our final segment coming up, and any phone calls are welcome here on Quicksland this morning.
United Way of Randolph County is celebrating their 50th year serving our community. Everyone deserves opportunities to have a good life, which means a quality education that leads to a stable job, enough income to support a family through retirement, and good health. That is why United Way of Randolph County partners with 18 agencies to ensure our community members have the support they need when they need it. During United Way's 2020 Come Together campaign, you are urged to give of your time or your money to aid in the efforts they have with Boy Scouts, Christo Center, Community Childcare Learning Center, Food Bank of Central and Northeast Missouri, Girl Scouts, Higbee Senior Center, Home Care of Mid-Missouri, Moberly Head Start, Randolph County Caring Community, Randolph County Health Department, 4-H Club, Safe Passage, Salvation Army, Senior Americans Multipurpose Center, Mid-Missouri Packaging and Productivity Specialists, and St. Vincent de Paul. Check out UnitedWayRandolphCounty.org today for more information.
All right, Arthur Knott Hopkins, a few more minutes here discussing the latest news for veterans. Okay, so Veterans Home, we've heard stories about the waiting list is long. Are there other options for our veterans?
There are. Our Harry S. Truman VA Medical Center, when I first started with the Missouri Veterans Commission 4 years ago, there were 10 nursing homes in our local communities that were contracted to handle veterans who were service-connected. Now, you have to be over 70% service-connected in order to fall under a VA contract for the home. There were 10 when I first started. In the last 4 years, the VA has added 4 more. And we have a local one in Moberly that is actually in the process of becoming number 15. Now, within my area, which includes Randolph County, Macon County, Linn County, Monroe County, and Sheridan County, we have Brunswick, Clarence, the 2 facilities in Macon, and 1 in Marceline. So if we get one in Moberly, that will make 6 that are within my area. And getting enrolled in or using a VA contract facility, we know that our veterans' homes have a long waiting list. It used to be over 1,000. Our director has modified the criteria to make it so that those who are on the waiting list are only those who actually need skilled nursing care. So that has significantly reduced our waiting list by over 300 for each facility. So our waiting list is now maybe about 700. Which is a lot better than it used to be. If you can't get into a veteran's home, then this is another option for you. And even if you go into a contract facility when the veterans home becomes open, you could still transfer to the veterans home. Our veterans home in Mexico, which is the only one I've visited, is extraordinary in the care that they give to our veterans. The facility is just amazing when you walk into it. It is not what you think of as a normal skilled nursing facility. In order to get enrolled in the system, you start with a caseworker down at the VA hospital. Again, you have to be enrolled in VA Medical Center healthcare. You start with a caseworker. They get you in contact. There's a specific caseworker who works with the contract homes. The veteran goes into the home. If they're more than 70% service connected and they are still married, the rules right now, rules can always change. The rule is right now, the veteran would still receive his service connected compensation payment, and the VA would be paying the full medical facilities bill, so the nursing home bill. And that's a big plus, because a lot of families worry about, what am I going to do? If he goes into a facility, the VA is going to stop my money. If it's a male veteran, how is he going to take care of his wife as well? The VA recognizes that he still has that responsibility for his spouse, so they pay the bill, but they're also able to keep that compensation benefit to help pay for the wife's living expenses.
So are the benefits the same in a community home-based nursing care that they would be at a veterans home?
Yes. A lot of the veterans, they are still enrolled in VA healthcare. They get their medications through the VA. Now, each individual facility is a little different. They have to meet a certain standard. The inspector who comes out of the VA Medical Center goes out, I believe, once a quarter. And she goes and actually meets with a lot of the veterans who are staying in the facilities. I've talked to her whenever I've had somebody who's trying to get into a facility. I call her up, Lori, down at the VA Medical Center, and talk with her about, what do we need? How's this facility doing? What other things are they going to need in order to do that? Has this been started? Where do we stand in the process? And Lori, I think, goes above and beyond trying to help our veterans in the community-based facilities.
Are these most always long-term?
Yes.
Is there such a thing as a short-term stay or not?
Usually a short-term stay is paid for by Medicare. Usually a person can go into a facility and they'll have somewhere between 60 to 100 days where Medicare will pay the bill for them to be in there, as long as they are recuperating from a surgery or an injury, a hospital stay. Medicare usually pays that bill. After that, it gets a little trickier. But there's also the option, if it's a long-term care, if it ends up being longer than that, and the veteran is more than 70% service connected, or let me modify that, if they're in that facility because of their service connected disability, then the VA could pick up the bill so that that patient is able to further recuperate.
Yeah. Is a veterans home in Mexico, are they capable of things like dementia, for example, and Alzheimer's? Are there units like that specifically for those type of issues that our veterans may face, or do you have to go to a facility that has a more skilled unit?
Our veterans home in Mexico does have a special care unit where they are able to take care of other issues such as dementia, Alzheimer's, and other issues. Community care, I think, has a lot more beds that are available for that. Mm-hmm. So that's often a concern. How can I get the person into that specialty unit when there just isn't the space?
Right.
So community care really can be a lifesaver for the family members who are worried that while I'm asleep, he's going to wake up and go wandering out in the middle of winter, and we're not going to find him until it's too late. I had that when I worked with the Highway Patrol. We would constantly get what they call silver alerts, where someone who has memory issues would wander through the night, and we had no idea what they were wearing, what area they were headed, and that's a serious concern in the dead of winter.
No question. All right, well, Arthur, you have presented a ton of information. If folks need some more, just some counsel or just to sit down, I know your office is open. Give us the office hours and the phone numbers when you're available.
I am in Moberly normally on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, and I see clients from 9 until 4, and my phone number there is 660-263-4960, and I'm usually in Macon on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and my phone number there is 660 385-6192. And I normally see people in Macon from 9 to 3. There is going to be a shift in my schedule come the first of the year where I found that I do a lot of community events on Tuesdays. So that takes me out of the Macon office. So we are looking at maybe dedicating every Thursday to Macon and making Tuesday a community outreach day. So that will lessen the confusion where people show up on Tuesdays and I'm not there in the office.
Okay. But as for now.
As for now, it's still Tuesdays and Thursdays.
And we say Randolph, Macon, but again, some surrounding counties. Yes. You mentioned Lynn, Sheraton, Monroe, for example.
Yes. Those are the five counties that I cover. But any county, anyone who's in the area, I work with people all across the state.
All right. Arthur Knott Hopkins, my guest here on Quick Slam this morning.
At AT&T, we believe that